The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Curtis Silver Oak Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. So what to expect from, as Ursula just said, could be the biggest snowstorm in 20 years to hit the region. I talked to Nick Allard at Cairo 7. We'll tell you what he had to say, the latest from him, in just a moment here. A couple of things before we get going. Actually, it's as we get going. You just mentioned that horribly tragic story that broke during our show yesterday. Mm-hmm. A 19-year-old girl slipped, fell, hit her head, and died at the University of Washington. And I wanted to help dispel a rumor that's flying around about this, because apparently there were some Facebook posts from some fraternity members at the UW that suggested that people should ice areas of the campus to prolong it being closed.
Because it had been closed on Monday and Tuesday.
Right.
So there were, yeah.
And so those Facebook posts apparently actually are real, that had been posted. But I know the university has said no. And I also want to tell you that one of my listeners who asked to stay anonymous, because he's probably not supposed to speak publicly about this, but he works at the UW Seattle main campus, and he was nearby. He did not see the fall, but he was very nearby. And a couple things he said. He can't believe how many kids walked by after the girl slipped and fell and just didn't even seem the slightest bit concerned.
Now, if that's true, that just breaks my heart.
Yeah, I know it. I know. And
you cannot be that busy not to see someone
right.
hurt.
Well, he also mentions everybody is on their phones. Nobody's really paying attention. And that's what kind of the reminder is. Pay attention to where you're walking, what's around you.
Although,
watch for ice.
I mean, she apparently was with her boy or with a guy, and she was being attended to right
away.
Okay,
so she wasn't just left there. Okay, part. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So yes, it's not like she was laying there all by herself. So she was being attended to. So I don't know if, you know, 5 or 10 or 20 people coming in would do any.
No, in fact, it probably wouldn't unless one of them is running to call 911.
Right. But the other thing this person says is that he will assure us, and this is somebody that I've heard from before and somebody that I trust. He says there were chunks of ice and snow along the edges of the pathway, but he says that there was no way that anybody could have sprayed water anywhere near there. And he said in no way was there an ice sheet sprayed onto the pathway by frat boys. They would have had a hard time getting access to any running water anyways. All the water outside is turned off. So I know, and I had heard this from a couple of different people
And police actually investigated it. And just to be clear, so it sounds like they said, no, this is not related to any of this. And then the university has come forward and said, we have, you know, we did in that general area, we did, but there are many areas of campus that they're saying are slippery.
And I will also say, if those posts are real, I don't fault the kids for posting stuff like that, because that's the way you think when you're in college. And
they're not thinking ahead that, okay, someone might slip and actually hurt themselves.
No, that's the last thing in your mind. And I would absolutely not vilify whoever posted that, because, you know, I mean, as we're seeing from some Virginia politicians, you just do silly things when you're in college. And it's the amount of outrage that I've kind of heard building about this. First of all, it probably didn't contribute at all to this girl falling. And secondly, that's what kids do. And that's what, you know, college kids, they like ice and it's fun to slide around. And
I don't know that they like ice. I think they like not having to go to class.
Yeah, campus being closed an extra day. Yeah, so. So that's one thing that's going on and that's breaking this hour. And then I just got some breaking audio in that the Howard Schultz presidential steam machine seems to be losing its steam already.
Oh, what happened?
Yeah. Well, do you remember Jeb Bush few years ago when he had to beg people to clap at one of his speeches?
Please clap.
He gave what he thought was an applause line. Nobody applauded. And Jeb Bush, please clap. And he just sounded so dejected.
So and there was so much hope around Jeb Bush. It was like another Bush who could.
There was so much hope they even put an exclamation point after his name. It wasn't Jeb. It was Jeb. So Howard Schultz has just given, let me see if I can figure out where this was. He just was at Purdue University this afternoon. He spoke because he's just trying to get his name out there everywhere he can about his third party run. And this was billed by his people as a major policy address. And he wanted to laud the president of Purdue. And I've heard really good things, believe it or not, about the president of Purdue University because he's really tackled education costs and he's used all kinds of capitalist free market principles to lower the cost of education. And it sounds like a good thing. So anyway, Howard Schultz wanted to pay tribute to that. But that's when Howard just had his Jeb Bush moment.
Under President Daniels, the cost of an education here will be less expensive in nominal dollars in 2020 than it was in 2012. Congratulations. You got to clap for that.
You know what they're thinking? Yeah, it's lower, but still outrageous.
No, they're thinking, come on. They're thinking, I got to pay $5 for a cup of coffee? And you're telling me about this?
Yeah, what do you know about struggling?
I've never bought Starbucks in my life. How much is a cup of coffee?
Nicole will answer that.
Well, it depends on what kind of coffee, yeah. But I mean, a drip coffee is probably $3-something.
Yeah, and I think I just had it. Was it a mocha? And I think that's like $4.50.
$4.50.
You know what?
Yeah,
if Howard Schultz runs on the platform of he'll bring back a 25-cent cup of Joe, I think he could get America behind
him. I think you can still get that at 7-Eleven.
Not for 25. That was sad. Let me listen to this again. We just got this in.
Under President Daniels, the cost of an education here will be less expensive in nominal dollars in 2020 than it was in 2012. Congratulations. You got to clap for that.
Yeah. He ain't no Trump, I'll tell you that right now. Okay, with all that as prelude, let's get to the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
So, you just heard Ursula say that it could be the biggest snow to hit in 20 years in this region. A couple of hours ago, I talked to Nick Allard, Cairo 7 meteorologist, to find out for you and for me, because I'm very excited about this, exactly what to expect.
Probably between like 1 to, you know, 3-ish, we could see some snow pushing in, and it will stick around.
Okay, so, I mean, I guess pause. So it's going to come in between 1 and 3, so it'll be during our show. I'm going to be bouncing off the walls with childlike giddiness tomorrow.
Tomorrow may be a day that you do have to do the sledding during the show.
I wonder if we'll have enough. I'll bring my sled.
Bring your sled.
I got this radio flyer, like the classic wood radio flyer. But we just put it on the porch at Christmas time as kind of a decoration.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to be taking that out.
I feel like those are safety concerns now. We used to have that one too, but there's a lot of metal.
I don't care about that.
Now they just give you a plastic dish.
That's right.
What you slide down hills on.
I will start every hour broadcasting live outside the building tomorrow, watching the skies for you.
I was going to say, that would be the day to put your face up to this, you know, directed at the sky.
The listeners don't even know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, it's Philomath. So, maybe I did talk about it on there.
I think you did. You're talking about you never felt some more alive.
I stood out on the sidewalk about 3-4 weeks ago in a driving rain, just put my face up so the rain would pelt me because I had nothing that day. I had no energy. And I thought, okay, maybe if I stand in the rain, maybe that'll give me just something so I can go and finish the show. And like coworkers were walking into the building. Are you okay? But tomorrow I won't need that. I won't need the energy. I'll just be providing it. So yeah, it's going to come. I'll bring I got one of those round discs. I could do some sledding during the show tomorrow.
Probably between like 1 to, 3-ish, we could see some snow pushing in, and it will stick around. I mean, you'll have heavier bands at times, and you'll have some pockets where it's a little bit lighter, and it should get heavier as Friday goes on into Friday night into early Saturday morning. And we've been going with a total in that, you know, 3 to 6, 4 to 8 inch range for a lot of places, with the potential, like we saw the other day, I guess that was Monday. Wow, it feels like a very long
week. Yeah, it does, yeah.
With the potential to see some places closer to a foot, because there could be some isolated spots with some convergence zone activity. There could be some spots where a band just sits there a little longer compared to what we originally thought. But the bottom line is, I think everybody's going to see some snow from this.
Okay, so
So Lake Stevens got a foot last time. Yeah. Now, if we could get up to a foot, I mean, I think that's not going to be so much Seattle area, but some areas again, another foot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still digging out from the last one.
I know, it's lovely. Just wonderful. And then, because I heard Nick a day or two ago say, yeah, we could get another wave on Monday or Tuesday, too. Another wave Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, we're going to get that, too?
It looks, the past couple model runs, especially the European model, have put a lot of snow over the area. But the UW model, which I'm leaning more towards, has some, but most of it heading south of us. So right now.
So it depends on if you want to trust the European model. I'll tell you what.
No, he's going with a UW model.
Right, no. But those European models, they're hot. I've seen them. So anyway, that's the forecast. So it could be a big one. We'll keep you posted. And then, of course, throughout the afternoon, if we have to add traffic reports, we'll have reporters out there. We'll keep you posted on everything you need to know as the big one hits. Next up in the big league.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Yeah, have you seen pictures of this big Sound Transit art installation that just went in Tacoma?
The octopus?
Yeah. So they're calling it Gertie's Ghost because the Tacoma Narrows Bridge was nicknamed Galloping Gertie when it came down in a huge windstorm more than a half century ago. And it's amazing that there's film of that. Because I think it was in the 1940s, maybe.
It's incredible film.
Yeah. And the fact that there's film of the bridge, because it is just... Have you ever seen those guys at the gym? They have those big, huge ropes, and they are swinging the rope up and down, and it goes in big waves. That's what was happening to the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. And then it eventually collapsed. From
1940. Yeah, only 5 months after it opened.
Did somebody film that? That's absolutely remarkable. There's film of that. So anyway, as it was bucking up and down and roiling in the wind, it had big humpbacks in the concrete and steel girders. So they put this big art installation in Tacoma because, as you know, Sound Transit spends 0.5% of your and my tax money, the illegally calculated car tab fees, the most criminally corrupt public agency in the history of the United States of America, and they spend millions, of tens of millions, on art. This is an organization that is tens of billions of dollars over budget. They are 13 years behind schedule on their promise of getting to the U District. 13 years behind schedule. Husky Stadium ain't the U District. They're 13 years behind schedule, tens of billions over budget. So what do they do with all of that money they collect from us? They gave it to two artists in Oakland. And the artist concept was, well, there were rumors of an octopus who lives in the steel girders at the bottom of the Sound where the Narrows Bridge came down. And the bridge, when it was swaying in the wind, and the tentacles of an octopus, they kind of look alike. So they built this 40,000-pound sculpture. And all it is a bunch of steel girder arches. They're planted in the ground down there in Tacoma. And it cost you and me $250,000. And the artist, I saw a Tacoma News Tribune story, and the artist specifically said, we would love to know what the public thinks about this. Oh, I'm glad you asked. I think that artists who can sell their art in a free market, like the nicest thing, nicest piece of art my wife and I ever bought, we were in Hawaii, and we went to an art gallery. And this doesn't happen that often, but there was this really cool piece of wall art that we both just fell in love with. And that hardly ever happens. So we bought it. We had it shipped home. I admire the creator of that art. They created something, put it in a gallery. My wife and I, of our own free will, we chose to give our money to that gallery and to that artist for something that we both loved. I have great respect for private artists who can sell their art in a free market. I think that public artists who live off coerced tax dollars, I think they are among the biggest grifters around. I think that they are nothing but leeches. So you said you hoped you could find out what the public thinks about it? Well, I'm just one member of the public. But I think that it reeks that an agency that is tens of billions of dollars over budget, that can't get a project done on time, that is already half a billion over budget getting to the east side before hardly any rail is down, that's half a billion over budget getting to Linwood, I think that it is a continuation of the criminal enterprise that is Sound Transit. And I think these two artists in Oakland, and by the way, you know, if you're going to spend all this money, why are you giving it to artists in Oakland? Why in the world wouldn't you keep it closer to home? At least give it to somebody who's contributing to the massive tax scam that is Sound Transit. Not that that would make the final product any better. So, you want to know what the public thinks about it? I'm just me, but I'm a member of the public. I think it stinks. I think you're a bunch of grifters in the public art world. And I think that Sound Transit continues to be the most criminal enterprise of any public agency in the history of the United States of America. I'm really glad you asked. That is our big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula will be back to check the news. And then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio is coming up now. I'm slightly disappointed with myself.
Why's that?
I decided to try to do an evil-level Sudoku during the commercial breaks today. I got most of it done, but I couldn't get it done.
There's a couple times I didn't say something to him because I was like, oh, he's reading something over there, doing something important. Now I realize that he was playing a game.
Sudoku. I have a hard time pronouncing it. It shouldn't be that hard. Sudoku.
Sudoku.
Yes. Yeah.
Everett was proved to be a little challenging.
I know. It's because it's 2:30. It's 2:30 and I've done my 12th newscast of the day. Give me a break.
No, the evil level Sudoku is it keeps you from the brain atrophying. It keeps the brain stimulated.
Oh.
So I like doing
maybe
that.
Perhaps I should do it in between breaks.
We all should. Start easy and work your way up to evil.
Okay.
So, okay. Anyway, I couldn't quite get it finished. But I'll get it finished maybe the next break here. With all that as mere prelude. Is that all I have before I get to the awesome audio?
Yes.
Because we have lots of awesome audio.
Yeah, why are you stalling?
Well, because I want to make sure I have enough awesome audio.
Have lots.
Okay, all right, let's get right to it then.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio. Clips of the day.
Whew, so much for it keeping my brain sharp. Al Sharpton is speaking out about all the problems in Virginia. As you know, the governor of Virginia is promoting killing babies. But even worse, in the minds of Democrats, he had a picture in his college yearbook of him in either blackface or a KKK hood and robe. We don't know which one he was. He says it's not either of them, even though it's on his personal college yearbook page. And I am flabbergasted that his position on, we'll talk about letting babies die after they're born, that nobody on the left said, that's horrible, he should step down. But a photo from 35 years ago, well, we can't have that. Our morals are dangerously screwed up in this country. So anyway, that's the governor. The lieutenant governor, who's an African-American guy, he's accused of rape 15 years ago by now a Stanford doctor professor. And the attorney general has admitted to wearing blackface. So, of course, we turn to one of the great minds in race relations in our country, Al Sharpton, to find out what he thinks about what's going on in Virginia.
Number three.
Whether you blackface in Virginia or blackface in San Antonio, you are a blackface.
It's odd. A reverend cares about that more than killing babies. Go on.
Why would we march against statues of dead folks and not hold accountable living folks today?
And then he said that the governor doesn't admit guilt, which he's denied. He says, I don't know how that got on my page, and I'm not either guy in the photo.
Don't confuse that with the fact that the governor and attorney general have admitted to what they did. There ain't no dispute about that.
And so Sharpton says the governor and the AG, who's second in line, that they should step down. But the lieutenant governor, who's accused of rape, denies it. And the only thing about the lieutenant governor is the left told us during the Kavanaugh hearings that you have to believe the accuser. And now they're not willing to believe the accuser. It's almost as if they believe women only if they accuse conservatives of a crime. It's odd to me. Maybe to you, too. At number two in our awesome audio, Jill Abramson is the former editor of the New York Times. She has been accused of plagiarism. She's written a new book talking about how to save journalism in America in these times. And a Vice editor last night came up with several passages that appear to be directly lifted from people's work. I just love listening to Jill Abramson's Upper West Side, or is that East Side, voice.
Number two.
Do you have any comment on this? There's another one. Lizzie Welcome,
really
the bad boy brand. I mean, you're going to be asked to respond to this at some point, and I'll put them right in front of you.
You know, all I can tell you is, you know, I certainly didn't plagiarize in my book. And
I could listen to her all afternoon. Anytime there's Jill Abramson audio, I ask Nicole to pull it. I didn't plagiarize in my book. It's just so funny to listen to her talk.
You know, there are 70 pages of footnotes.
Let me go back. I got to find it.
I mean, you're going to be asked to respond to this at some point, and I'll put them right in front of you.
You know, all I can tell you is, you know, I certainly didn't plagiarize in my book. And, you know, there are 70 pages of footnotes showing, you know, where I got the information.
So do you think that it's possible that some of
the information... Somebody give her the Heimlich, for crying out loud. At number one, a Florida woman was suffering from a medical malady, and she says she knew she was having a stroke. She owns two Labradors, and she says they saved her life because Maureen Hatcher, there's video that seems to confirm this. Her two dogs, Sadie and Bella, after she told them, go get me help, go find a neighbor, one of the neighbor's surveillance cameras caught Sadie and Bella running to a neighbor's house for help. Here is Maureen Hatcher.
Number one.
I just went face first into the floor. I remember Sadie coming in, and I said, Mommy needs help. And then they were gone.
And a reporter walked through the surveillance video.
As the doorbell camera shows and scrambling to find help, it didn't take long for a neighbor to show up and call 911. Realizing what was wrong, paramedics took Maureen directly to a stroke center.
And she says that she doesn't know what would have happened if her dogs hadn't gotten help.
I'm blessed. Very blessed. Mama loves you.
Those are good doggies. And that is our awesome audio of the day. And it is brought to you by our friends at Brown Bear Car Wash. Ooh, Brown Bear. They are going to be busy after this snow that hits this weekend. Coming up next, we'll tell you what is today's sign. The end is near. Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. I'm so excited. It's so funny to me to see the text messages and get the emails from people who are furious at me because I'm excited that we're going to get a huge snowfall. Now, it better happen. This better be real, this huge snowfall. But I find it so funny how people hate snow that much. And I know it can be an extra hassle. I get that. But it's gorgeous and it's fun. I still got a lot of little kid in me. But what I find so funny is it's the same people who accuse me of being too negative on every other issue. So the one thing I'm too positive on, I get criticism from the exact same people. I can't win. I don't get no respect. All right, before we get out of here, it's time for today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Let's start down in Oklahoma City, home of your Seattle Supersonics. Ooh, I hurt myself saying super. Okay, down in Oklahoma City, an Uber driver says he's feeling very lucky after a seemingly normal ride led him to a police melee. This is the driver. His name is Brandon Case, and he says he just got an alert that some people wanted a pickup at a nearby bank.
Yeah, they called me for a getaway car.
It was some armed teenagers. They robbed a bank, but they didn't have a car themselves. So they called the Uber as the getaway. And as soon as Brandon got there, he knew that something just wasn't right.
So I turn the corner and come up on Midfirst Bank, and all I see is cop cars. I'm like, this is not normal. I see cops running towards the back of the building. There's like three or four of them in handcuffs, putting them in cop cars. Well, I said, did somebody rob a bank? He says, well, attempted.
I like this guy. He said that he's really glad the cops showed up before he did, because otherwise the armed teens would have been in his Uber.
I just count myself lucky, because if the cops not got there before me, it could have turned out completely different.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, man might be dead right now if the cops hadn't gotten there before him. So what is his advice?
If you're going to do something like that, have your own car.
That is solid advice right there. Today's sign story number two. Do you have an ex that you have some bitterness toward? I don't. That's the benefit of hardly ever dating before I met the woman of my dreams. But like one or two serious relationships before my wife. I don't have any bitterness towards an ex. Why would I? They were part of a very fun period in my life. But I know that some people just are filled with bile toward their ex. Well, might have a way to exorcise those demons from you. A zoo down in Texas is letting people name cockroaches after their former lovers, and then they feed the cockroaches to the zoo's meerkats. And you need not be present to win. You can just message the El Paso Zoo on Facebook beginning 4 days from now, February 11th, with the first name and last initial of your ex. They will name a cockroach after your ex, and then they will broadcast the cockroach feast on Facebook Live on Valentine's Day using their Meerkat webcam. Do you think anybody would get any satisfaction out of that? I mean, if you need that to get over a relationship, then the problem might be you. And finally, in today's sign, a driver who swerved and went into the ditch to avoid an octopus on the road has been arrested on suspicion of drunk driving or impaired driving. It might be some other drug. The 49-year-old driver was checked over by paramedics before being arrested. The officers who tweeted about the incident said they found absolutely no evidence of an octopus in the road.
Under the sea, in an octopus's gut, in the shade, we would be warm.
Yeah, the man couldn't come up with anything better when the cops showed up. But they said, hey, it's not a joking matter. It's almost a certainty that he was driving under the influence. The guy was not injured badly enough to go to the hospital, but he will face charges of driving while impaired. The octopus is fine.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade.
You know, as great and as brilliant as the Beatles were, they did churn out a handful of just awful songs. This being one of them. They're still the greatest band of all time, though. Don't get me wrong. All of that is today's sign. The end is near. And I got to get out of here. I've said everything that I have to say for today. But, man, we got a Friday show in the works for you. Have full coverage as the snow hits the region. And We'll get you covered. We'll get you the best traffic reports, all of that stuff throughout the afternoon tomorrow on The Big Show. We are happy together, aren't we? Candy, Mike, and Todd are coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Head up.
Be excellent to each other and party on, dudes!
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.